Welcome to VFN Radio Live this Tuesday. Oh my goodness, we're back! Joining you after a wonderful, wonderful time with ministers and leaders from around the United States that we gather for a week of inspiration and impartation, and what we're going to share with you, some things the Lord told us about 2013. Straighten up. It's going to be a doozy. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this day, this Tuesday, live to encourage you, to inspire you, to inform you, and by God's grace to activate you in the kingdom of God is John Ramos.
Good morning, good morning.
And the producer of VFN Radio program, who brings it all together, amazingly, Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
We have so much we're going to share with you, but first we want to welcome our new audience members who have joined us in the virtual stadium. I want to welcome Marlon and Ivan and Troy and Lori and Demise and Angel and Nancy and Timothy and Tommy and Vanessa and Daniel and Sejun, David. Some of you guys, you know, I just can't even pronounce it. Rhonda, Mike, James, Gloria, Woodrow, oh my goodness, Robert, Kim with a Y, John and Michaela and Mark and Robbie and Natalie and from China. I can't read Mandarin. There's so many of you joining us today. We can't name you all. We just want to make a point of saying welcome to the virtual stadium, to the audience of VFN TV. And the daily radio program, we are here to be an encouraging voice, to inspire you, to be a Coach Landry, to say, you can do this thing.
That's right.
To be a Coach Bear Bryant, to say, hey, rah. And to be Coach of the Mets. You know, I know, but maybe next time. That's for you, Elijah. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Well, here we are. We're live, live. Wasn't that a wonderful, wonderful time we had together with ministers from around the United States?
Oh, it was wonderful.
Oh, I just want to give a big shout out to Jackery this morning, who has, God has blessed him with a home in North Carolina as he's come back from Okinawa, and konnichiwa, guys. And I'm excited about getting up with you, man. As time progresses, our love goes out to you guys. You guys are settling in. We're so grateful and thankful to all of our military forces, Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, and Coast Guard, who labor intensely to be able to keep us safe and protect us. And I truly believe the days that are coming ahead, your role is so significant. It's going to, what your role will stand in between us and what's going to possibly try to attempt to touch us in America as God lays his hand upon us. So I want to say thank you to all of our forces out there. Give a shout out to all of our veterans. And it's really cool to see how the shift is taking place in America as the veterans are being more and more honored, those that have served us and our in our nation, our country. We also give a shout out to everybody all over the place. Shout out to Texas. Everything's bigger in Texas, even volumes. I want to give a shout out to everything that's taking place over there in Texas. We're so proud of you guys, and it was good to see all the leaders coming in to spend time with you and just encourage to see what God's going to be doing in the great state of Texas. And when you see what's happening, they're one of the biggest job markets, right, John?
That's right.
What's the stats?
I believe it's the 15th largest economy in the world.
Out of all the economies, you're talking about national economies now.
Yeah.
The 15th is Texas. So if you want a job, I mean, if you want a job and air conditioning, that's not the place. But if you want a job, they have air conditioners. Thank God they have air conditioners. I like what Kuchera says. You know, she's like, what you do is you go from one air conditioned place to another. good morning, Kuchera. Well, but the job market is so huge. The way that they stand, the way that they pledge allegiance not only to America in their schools, but they also pledge allegiance to the flag of Texas. And that's just really beautiful. They have a vision, a clear vision for who they are as a state, who they are as a state in the United States, what they want to do for their people. Their schools are really a great education system. Their freedom that they give the church and they give to businesses there, it's just proof positive, totally proof positive. So if you want to join us in Texas, no. It's not that far. You never know.
You never know.
Coming live from Tyler, Texas, 75711. Y'all remember that? Y'all probably don't remember that, but that was years
ago. Just from you.
Oh, really? Well, what happened, there was A.A. Allen years ago. You may have heard of A.A. Allen, one of the God's generals that used to have these tent meetings. And you have no problem. All you need is faith in God. Well, one of his spiritual sons was R.W. Shambaugh. And R.W. Shambaugh traveled with him and helped him and assisted him and was there all the time with him. He was his second man. And when A.A. Allen went on to be with the Lord, the anointing just landed on R.W. And R.W. let it rip intense, man. He was intense. You don't have no problem. All you need is faith in God. Write to me today, R.W. Shambaugh, Tyler, Texas, 75711. I love that. And I was listening to Barbara. Barbara was hearing that when she first gave her life to the Lord. And she remembers listening to R.W. And we all listened to R.W. because of his energy, his enthusiasm. You know what? He was on the cutting edge. He was willing to step outside the present day format and say, let's go into the dark places. Let's go into where and bring the gospel in. And he even set a tent up to do that. And that's what I'm excited about. The many people today that are hearing God's voice, that they're taking on what God is saying. The pioneering spirit to be able to go in as a missionary is what God, we're all called to be missionaries. It's not just somebody that travels outside your country. Be missionaries to carry the good news of the gospel to a people group. Your people group could be your particular occupation. It could be people in your immediate neighborhood. It could be people in your city. It could be a city somewhere else in the United States. It could be a state. It could be a nation. It could be a country. And I just want to encourage you to begin, as we're going to begin to unfold some things that, you know, God's been laying on our hearts, to encourage you. It's time to step out on the water. And remember, one particular disciple, the storm was happening, right? Storm was raging. The disciples were in a boat, and they were waiting for Jesus to catch up with them, and he did not have an airplane or anything like that to catch up with them. And he said, just go on ahead. I'll get you. And this big, huge storm was taking place in the Galilee. And, of course, they're, like, rocking and rolling in the storms and the winds blowing, all this kind of stuff. And then they see Jesus walking on top of the water. He's walking on top of the water, not even bothered by the storm. And then he looks at the people that were in the building. He said, step out. And he just called them forth. This is what happened. You know, Peter looked out there and saw Jesus in the storm. And you're going to have to look for him. You have to look for him, and you abide with him, spend time with him. You may find out, just like Peter did when he called out to him and says, this is you, Jesus. This is most of our prayers are like. This is you, Jesus. Stop the storm.
Right?
That's what we would say. This is you, Jesus. Stop the storm. But Peter just said, in the middle of the storm, while Jesus was walking on top of it, just like the three guys we talked about earlier, that they were willing to go into the fire, Jesus is in the trouble, by the way. So Jesus is walking on the water. He says, if that's you, Jesus, he didn't say stop the storm. He said, call me out to walk on the water to come to you. We'd say, Jesus, come to me right here in my convenience, and where I have my job and everything, you know, where I have all my 401k and where, you know, everything's great. And he says, no, if it's you, King James bid me to come unto you, right? Like, call me out there. This is you. I mean, Peter was just, you know, amazing. And so he says, well, come. Think about it. He just said, come. And that's what the Lord's saying to you. If you're listening right now, this is what the Lord's saying to you. He's saying, you know, seek me. And when you seek me with all your heart, you'll find me. We call it abiding with the Lord. You can find out more about that at iabide.org. Just learning how to talk to him and make sure you find him and not religion. And then ask this, Lord, if that's really you walking down the streets of Chorazin, if that's really you outside the temple, if that's really you going into these dark places and saving, you know, a multitudes and saving the prostitute, if that's really you that's raising that man from the dead, if that's really you, is walking in the midst of the storm, even though the storm is here, you know, call me out. You know, allow me to come out there with you. Mm-hmm. Notice he wasn't in the building. I mean, he wasn't in the boat. He was out on the storm. And everybody else stayed in the boat. Everybody stayed in the boat. Oh my goodness. Stayed in the building boat. But Peter stepped out. Now listen, let me tell you something. Yes, he was walking on the water. There was something inside of Peter that he didn't even know about that God was able to call on when Peter had the faith to see and recognize God in the storm. Mm. And Jesus tapped into what Peter didn't even know he had, which is the ability to walk upon the waters of a storm. Prior to that, all of his reasonings was, and it's all he had, the only grit he had was, when you go over the water, you ride in boats or you swim. But he found out what was inside of him, the power of God that was inside of him that calls him forth, can empower him to walk on top of the water. Think about it. And if you got to be willing to step out of the boat. You got to be able to find Jesus in the storm. He's the fourth man in the fire, which means you have to be in the fire to be able to have a minute. Anyway, so understand that, and then to say, you know what, Jesus, that's you. Bid me to come out of this building. No. Listen, that's not, you know, stay in. More of them stayed in the boat than got out. So I'm not saying, you know, but I'm just saying, listen, think about it. When he said that, Jesus called unto him and he came out and he stepped out of what he's used to being in that contained him and the whole world was used. You got to have boats. You got to have boats. Everybody's in boats. But then because of Jesus and because of seeing him in the storm, because of believing that God could empower him to walk on the water, just like Jesus is walking on the water, because he says, not only can you do what I've done, but you can do greater things than these. And so he calls him out. And when he calls him out, he begins to walk on the water. I mean, get this, he's walking on the water. Now, granted, you know, Pat and I float on the water because we have a lot of float content. You know? Well, Chris and I float. Chris and I float. These guys sink. They're straight muscle mass, you know, straight to the bottom. But
I know he sinks to the bottom.
You know, I used to. Bid me to float in the water with you, Jesus. Make me sink. That's what I was like. Make me sink. That's God, man, because I float. Anyway, so listen. And so what was inside of him, and we talk about the storm and all the things going on. This is the greatest day the church is ever going to see. It's going to be the greatest day, not for those who stay in the boat per se, but those who are willing to get out of the boat and say, you know what, let's do this thing. I think about that flight. What was it, flight
93.
Flight 93. And all these planes are crashing into the Twin Towers or crashing into the Pentagon, and these guys – through a little bit of communication, they knew that their plane was hijacked. Mm-hmm. They knew it was hijacked. They knew that the storm was coming, and they knew the probability of them living beyond what they presently were if they don't change things, that they have to do something. They have to take down this pilot. So there's two things going on. One is possibly we can save ourselves, but definitely we can save others. Mm. And they could hear the wife could hear them saying this once he clarified what's going on. They got together in unity for one purpose, to be able to save people. And you heard them on the recording on the phone say, let's roll. And next thing we know, you hear screaming, you hear hollering. They busted through the cockpit and they went in there and took over. And they stopped that jet, that airliner, from crashing and killing more people. But yes, they gave their lives to save others. Greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for his friend. Listen, this day is calling for those who are willing to lay down their life because we love God and we love others and we want people to be able to make it. We're willing to look into the depths of the storm and step outside of that which was originally holding us to be able to be used by God to be able to win others and save others. And this is that day. This is that day. What's inside of you? I'm just by God's grace and just right now, I'm calling it out of you. I'm just calling you out. I'm calling you out and say, listen, look for Jesus. Search for him with all of your heart. You'll find him. He's there. He's been waiting for you. But just reach out to him, though he's not far from you, and you will find him. When you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. And you got to be ready because you got to step outside of what you're depending on so you can depend fully upon God. I'm not talking about taking just, you know, ignorant risk. I'm talking about walking in faith to believe God, not only for yourself, but begin to believe God for others. It's a day. It's a day it's going to take pioneers. It's going to take missionaries to realize they're missionaries. Listen, this is we're all called to go into the world and to preach the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's going to require us to say, listen, if that's you in the storm, if that's you in the storm, because when he got into the particular boat in another progression of their journey, they realized Jesus was even controlling the storm, because they say in another situation, they said, listen, when he said, peace be still, the storm stopped. And they said, who is this that the wind and the waves obey? No matter what religion tells you, the insurance company's got it right when they say this is an act of God. When they're talking about some instances that take place, some people say, that just can't be God, but you sure do take your check from your insurance company when they call it an act of God. Don't they? Somebody's like, yeah, sure I'll take that. That means I get a total replacement on my house, right?
That's
act of God. It's act of God.
New roof.
Yeah, new roof. New roof replacing blue roof. And so understand that some storms are fashioned by God. Ezekiel talks about it, Ezekiel 33. And we have to realize, hey, you know what? We can respond properly in the storm. We'll find Jesus in the storm. And he can all of a sudden, if we do this, he will speak to the storm and just say, peace. Mm-hmm. Be still. The disciples struggled with this before. They thought, Lord, don't you care? We're going to die. Don't you see the economy? Don't you see what's happening in my job? Don't you see what's happening in my marriage and my children and my parents and what's happening in my state and my city? Don't you see what's happening with our Constitution? Don't you see what's happening to the church? Don't you even care that we perish? And he looks at them and he says, oh my goodness, you of a little amount of the substance that pleases me the most. You of little faith. See, faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you're going to have faith. And he said, you of little faith. Listen, God's in the storm. He's in the storm. Don't let anybody tell you there is great deception that's coming in this age. And if you don't pay attention, if you don't keep your heart, your ear to God's heart and God's heart to your ear, you can be deceived in this. You can be deceived in this because so many people are using the right vocabulary. I mean, even Louis Farrakhan right now has just reported this last week. I mean, he's tapping into what's actually going to be taking place in our, but it's twisted and it's perverted and it's not right, but at least, my goodness, the world and the heathen know, you know, they know what's about to happen to the surface. Like the church is going, hey, you know, I'm just trusting in this resort to be able to take care of me. And I just want to encourage you, prepare your heart. Listen, the most exciting days of your life is right ahead of you. The most exciting days, you know, bungee jumping ain't got nothing on stepping out and obeying God by faith. Stepping out on top of the circumstances where everybody else is sinking, keeping your eyes focused on Jesus, and allow him to empower you to walk on those situations to be used in the midst of the storm. Listen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three guys who were thrown in the furnace, when they were thrown in the furnace, what they were bound with left, and they were free. Their clothes didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't even catch on fire. Other people died getting clothes. They got kept them.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, step out. Step out and follow God. Not follow men. Follow God. Hear a call of God on your life. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Understand that God, even though he has a plan to bring a storm against America, and it's happening as we speak, look at Nineveh. If you get involved in telling others, there's a chance they may respond and he may change his mind. And the things he meant for America, he will just stop it because God's looking. He's a merciful God. He's looking for an opportunity to show forth his mercy.
You may be joining us today and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through his son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. We try to share not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent his son so that you can have a relationship with him. Go to meetmyfather.org and you can read some of our stories.
Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's just, it's been life transforming. I mean, it's, I can hear him clearly, and it's beautiful. And, you know, he just, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
He says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
How, that's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing. And he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life. And it's just amazing where he leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures and there it is. And like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God and by alone with God,
mm-hmm.
and you'll even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages?
With
the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though,
yeah.
to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice. If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It'll be sent to you immediately in your email. iabide.org. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts, you go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We're in the first hour. It is so good to be back live today. We had a wonderful time with our leaders coming from around the United States to be able to encourage them and to inspire them. And God encouraged us, inspired us, and spoke specifically to us, letting us know that he is in control. Let me tell you something. The love of God is amazing. Mm. The wisdom of God is empowering, and the knowledge of God will blow our limited knowledge away. He knows tomorrow from today and from yesterday, and he's in control of all three of them. He lives outside of time, and you want to seek him. Don't go seeking all these other people that are trying to tell you from their own carnality, their own flesh, or their some other realm other than God's realm to tap into success. Understand the only success is knowing Jesus as Lord and walking with him. And he's the one that loves you. He's the one that gave his life for you. The one that created you in his image and his likeness and has good plans in store for you. Plans to bless you and to restore the years, the locusts and life and stuff and things. And our own lousy choices quite often have, you know, destroyed. He restores us from our own ignorance. Isn't that amazing?
Amazingly so.
Amazing.
I was waiting, John, for you to break in.
that's a good part. That's a good place to break in.
It is, isn't it? Is it not?
Yeah, it is. He has done a lot of rescuing in my life, and I'm thankful for it.
Yeah, you know, so many people say, you know, I'm just suffering for Jesus. You know, I just suffering. It's like, no, quite often we're suffering because of our own stupidity. Mm-hmm. Because of our own not taking our time and seeking the Lord and listening for the answer. And when the Holy Spirit is telling you, you're just uncomfortable about a direction and you push past that direction. And then, you know, the very situation you went into, basically the Lord uses that situation to beat you upside your head.
Yeah, sure does.
And you look back and you think, man, I remember boldly that uncomfortableness in my spirit.
Yep.
Because the Holy Spirit is so gentle, he just kind of goes, even if you're walking towards a cliff that's going to splatter you, he goes, I wouldn't go that way. I wouldn't go that way, you know? I wouldn't go that way. And of course, we're like, da, 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 da. Like Misty Edwards, right? Da, na, 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 na.
Yeah, right.
This has got to be you, God. This is good. And, you know, three therapy sessions later, paying off debt. He said, hey, I want you to meet Ishmael. Ishmael, 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 Ishmael. Hey, all Ishmaels, come in here right now. Ishmaels. Because it's interesting that God will actually empower your Ishmael and make a great nation of them. It's like, but did the nation have to be so close? So I just want to encourage you that, you know, God's a loving God. Seek him and understand this is the day of the Lord, and it's for us to be glad and rejoice in it. I truly believe that, and I'm hoping for a third great awakening. If you just read our short history and see how the first great awakening in America happened, and it was followed by the Revolutionary War. Think about it. We got our independence, you know, the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, after the first great awakening.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very significant that we were under British rule prior to the First Great Awakening. When the First Great Awakening came, it was followed by, in other words, when God began in the church manifested in the nation as a free nation, where all of our rights come from God, that all men are created equal under our Creator. And then, and the second Great Awakening, when it broke loose, in America, what followed the second great awakening is men's eyes opened up and their hearts became bold to say, listen, that the African-American in America is just as much man as this white man, as this Indian, as anybody else. We're all men created by God, and enslaving the African-American is wrong before the eyes of God. And that followed a second great awakening in America. So look, slavery was broken off America, but it started with nothing to do with that. It started with the church getting right and going after God. What does that mean? That we can have a third great awakening. And think about this. You can't have a revolution or a new constitution before we repent as the church. You know, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? Well, let me tell you, the church getting right, going after God. And then after we do that, God begins to do something in our hearts and the people's hearts and begins to transform our nation. It's not for the nation to get right and then the church gets right, because America is a byproduct of the church, of Christians who came to America. And slavery, the horrificness of enslaving our brothers, was broken after the Second Great Awakening, when there was a civil war that took place. The civil war took place after the Second Great Awakening. So what does that mean? That means that if we wake up, we who are God's people, who are in evil and we're doing evil things and we're just acting like the world and that we don't even know God, if we turn back to God and go after God and seek him with all of our heart and repent for our evil ways, which means stop doing wrong, and then he'll hear from heaven and he'll heal our land. No telling what will happen in a third great awakening in America, but it has to take men and women who are willing to step out of the boat, as I was talking about in the first part of this hour today. But just think about it. Begin to believe God for a third great awakening. I was just listening to General Jerry Boykin, which is also a man of God, and he was talking about that aspect of the third great awakening and what I was just sharing with you. And when you look at American history, and this is a general that's been in wars, that, you know, we're just such softies. You know what I'm saying? Because our generation hasn't been through. We're princes and kings, really, and princesses, because we've been living off the pioneering work of those that have gone before us. We have to be willing to step outside of our comfort zone and possibly even lose our permanent comfort, to be able to go after God and believe that, that God can turn this nation around and use it. Listen, there was no constitution before the Revolutionary War. So you can't say, well, you know, this may be totally over. Well, listen, we already have the constitution. All we got to do is repent before God and just put a few amendments and undo a few things. And it can be, it's easier now than it would be then. To be able to turn back to our founding fathers and what God's original word is over this nation, this country. It's easier to fix that than to have to rewrite an entire new constitution and go through all that. So I want to encourage you, you know, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Begin to seek the Lord. Understand that right now, at this very moment, we're hearing not only the First Amendment challenge, as we talked about earlier, and you can find out more about that under your app highlights or under the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com, click on the VFN Torch, and up in the search area, just type in, you know, First Amendment, and you can have, or just amendments. You can see all the things that were done on amendments. But we need to understand these things. You know, you never, if you would have known what you were giving up when you gave it up, you probably wouldn't have given it up.
That's right.
And they're not going to tell you. People that want to take something from you are not going to tell you the reason why they want that. That Mona Lisa painting is that's worth more than $5. They're not going to say it's worth, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to tell you that. They'll tell you that. They'll brag about it after they buy it from you for $2.
Right.
And when they take away our rights, well, understand the Second Amendment as we speak right now. In tomorrow's program, you'll be hearing a detailed discussion on the Second Amendment. You've got to hear it. You've got to get this inside of you and understand it, because they're talking about gun laws. They're talking about the Constitution. The Constitution, which is, by the way, the supreme law of the land.
Mm.
It's not some other thing sitting out there and then we have laws and we have this other thing going on. It's the supreme law of the land. It is the law of the land. We've learned this in our U.S. citizenship test, right?
That's right.
Which we'll be doing today. You got to catch that in the extra hour. It's very exciting to watch you guys.
You been studying?
No, have you?
No, I haven't been studying.
Very good. Can't study until after the humiliation. It is not fun if you know the answers. Anyway, but this is our Second Amendment. When somebody says, and the church has to understand this, you know, Jesus said, I'm sending you out. I'm sending you out without purse, without weapon. Don't take anything.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even take an extra thing of clothes. And they go out and it's a learning process. And, you know, the Lord moves and ministry happens and I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. But understand, ministry took place, and they come back, and they tell Jesus what happened. But then later on, Jesus says, listen, you know, take a sword. To us, we would say, you know, arm yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, arm yourself. In America, that's legal. Other countries, it might not be legal. It's actually the supreme law of the land says in the Second Amendment that you can arm yourself. And it's not, and they're trying to turn arming yourself into something to do with going hunting. And it has nothing to do with going hunting. This is what the Second Amendment says, the supreme law of the land now. I'm not talking anything else. It says a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. In other words, that's what keeps us free.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing when you know everybody in your city has a gun, and you're thinking about whether you want to be a criminal or not. Or, you know, you're thinking about you want to be a tyrannical leader and you want to throw away the Constitution and you want to charge into Texas. I wouldn't do that if I was you.
Yeah, right.
No.
And so the second
to come out alive.
Right. And that Second Amendment that Texans, I think they probably, I would think, well, actually, Florida has more, over 1 million concealed weapons license, the largest state that have that. It looks like a gun, don't it? The state of Florida looks like a gun with a trigger.
Yeah, sure does.
The shot that was heard around the world. Anyway, so that prevents tyrannical leadership, where somebody, instead of being a government by the people and for the people, that what we send people to represent us, and that's how our government works. If the Second Amendment wasn't there, then somebody could come in and says, you know, I don't want to serve just two terms. You know, I don't want it. And besides, you know, I'm like Woodrow. I really know what's best for this country. And they just keep messing it up. So I'll tell you what, I'm just going to, just for a little bit longer, I'm going to change a few things, and I'm going to bring in the military. I'm going to have martial law, and I'm going to take away the Second Amendment. I'm going to change it through executive order.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exactly what's that's not exactly, but that's what that's the thing about wanting to take our Second Amendment rights away from us by executive order is exactly what's being talked about. You know, allegedly reported by the news, Fox News, CNN, all the different sources, CBN News, you know, as you're listening to the president himself talk, they're saying that they want to have an executive order to do away with the supreme law of the land. And some of the people I'm hearing, they're talking about, well, that's exactly, you might not know this or not, but the Emancipation Proclamation, that it was done by an executive order. But you have to understand that the African-Americans' constitutional rights were being violated. And so President Abraham Lincoln made sure through executive order that the African-Americans' constitutional rights were upheld. That he wasn't doing away with the Constitution.
Right.
It was a rebuke to the people who were taking away the African-Americans' constitutional rights. It's a huge difference.
Yeah, Fox News Today is reporting that the president is weighing as many as 19 different gun control measures that he could take without congressional approval.
Well, you think about it, that, you know, coming from former law enforcement, that the reason why you call a law enforcement officer out and the reason why people listen to law enforcement, as much as you would like to think it's because of the pretty uniform, it's because they're armed.
Right.
They're armed.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they have authority.
Right.
And with that, they will, you know, if it takes 1, 2, 3, 20, 30, 40, 50, 100 officers, you will comply. And when your house is being broken into and you pick up the phone and you dial 911, you're calling somebody with a gun. Mm-hmm. You're calling somebody with a gun. But understand this, he or she, that officer, is driving a great distance. And by the time we showed up in law enforcement, most every single time the fight was over. Because you had the distance. It's just quick. People don't, you can't even fight. You know, it takes a lot of energy to fight. And so, and normally the rage is so big, so strong, that the how long that lasts is short. But it takes 40 seconds for a tornado to happen, for 40 years to recover from it. Murder happens, assault happens, rapes happen, all these things happen. Mm-hmm. And so by the time the officer gets there, quite often, you know, it would be, you would nice to think it's like the movies and they, you know, show up, like, but they can't get there in time quite often. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're close by. But the reality is you're calling them because they have definite authority and they have weapons on them to stop the person who's trying to commit harm to you. Well, think about this. The Second Amendment says you have a right to arm yourself, to protect yourself. And so you can call 911, but you also can call 357, 357. You know, 357 is a 357 Magnum. You can actually have your own protection, according to the supreme law of the land, the Second Amendment, you can do that. That's your, it's your constitutional rights, the supreme law of the land, as for you to own. Of course, if you're a felon, you do forfeited that. If you're struggling with your mental faculties, I mean, you really, come on, you don't need it. Even though you're feeling good today, you could be feeling bad tomorrow. You don't really need that, but you can stay close to somebody who has their mental faculties close.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to begin to, you know, build community in all of our cities and states, and to understand and re-educate ourselves on the Constitution so that we can feel confident that we are walking with under the supreme law of the land, not violating any laws, and protecting ourselves and our neighbor from any potential harm. I'm going to be talking to you in a moment after this break about Dr. Martin Luther King, who showed us a great example of how to just hold them to what's being written, what's written on the paper.
I want to encourage you today, if you're looking for a fellowship of believers, if you're looking to be a part of the church, where the church is family, I want to encourage you to go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. It's a network of abiding churches that hear God's voice and live amongst each other as family. This is the church's greatest hour, and God may be calling you to be a part. vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Check it out. It could be for you.
You know, when I start thinking about Promise Keepers and the days that Coach McCartney heard from the Lord under the unction of God, he's riding with one of his friends, they're riding down the road, and they just said, you know, we got to get some men together. And it started with two of them saying, yeah, we got to do it. And the next year it started with 40, and the next year it started with a few more. And next thing you know, men were meeting all over the nation, meeting in small groups of men who had a focused theme of doing what's right before God. And with that, eventually, these men came together and filled stadiums all around the nation. It was just a powerful thing. I can't explain it. Unless you were there, I just can't explain how powerful it was. There's something so powerful about men going after God, people going after God like that. But you know what? You know, when we came out of the stadiums, it just seemed like things began to die out. The very things that happened in the stadiums, it just started going away. And we began to seek the Lord, and we were wondering, we don't want this to stop. What, the people that we saw alive in the stadiums were now going back into lethargicness and spiritual bondage again. What's going on? You know, what's the next step? And that's exactly what the Lord had led me to do. It's called today, Next Step Outback, where it's taken fathers and sons in the wilderness, fatherless sons and mentors, to be able to repent before God for not turning our hearts to our sons and our son's heart not to the father. And it was just a powerful time that God came down for almost 10 years. And where he met us in the wilderness, we went out to meet him, and it was just a powerful thing. But again, when we left the wilderness, the power of God experience, all the things that happened there, the same thing happened. Men went back into the traditional expression of what's going on. They fell back asleep again. They walked around like zombies when you'd see them in the stores and the different places. And it's like, you are alive. What happened to you? And they say right now today that over 20% of Christian women and 50% of Christian men are bound by an addiction to pornography. Listen, this is not working. We have to do something different. It makes me think about Billy Graham. We think about Billy Graham. You know, he had stadiums filled, you know, one stadium at a time, filled with people to come and to preach the gospel to them. And it would take about 9 months to be able to do the hard work, the groundwork, to be able to fill that stadium. And he'd preach the gospel really once or that one weekend, and it would change lives. It's time for us. Think about it. It's time for us to begin to do the groundwork. And what VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, think of it like this. It's a virtual audience where Billy Graham, an awesome man of God, preached the gospel like he did, and it just transformed a nation. We got to begin to do that now, but we can fill a virtual stadium. The audience of VFN TV and the daily radio program, we're not just once, not just one weekend, but every single day, whether it's on an iPhone or an Android or a computer or a smart TV, whether it's on a Facebook or some social media, it's just everywhere. It's going out preaching the gospel every single day for those who sit down, because once you sit down once in the virtual audience, you're actually get a chance to hear every single day the hope and the light of the gospel. And with that, what we found out that by sharing this with others in the almost a 1/6 of the world's population now is in social media, like a billion people, that spending $1 in the context of getting it out to them, that at least at $1 brings in approximately, this is what we're finding out, these numbers now, that one person comes and sits down in our virtual audience. But they don't just sit down for a day or a weekend. They sit down continually for the entire year. And every single day, we get to let them know about the hope, the light of the gospel, preach hope to them. Yes, for $1. Think about it. You can help fill this virtual stadium. When we fill this virtual stadium, I believe we're going to fill stadiums around the nation. I've seen the stadiums. The founder of God TV, she prophesied these stadiums will be filled. Listen, but it will start with us doing the groundwork like Reverend Billy Graham did. You can participate. Think about it. For $1, you can potentially have one person sit down in this virtual stadium and begin to hear the gospel and transform their life. For $10 a month, you can sit 10, potentially 10 new people in this stadium every single month. $100 a month, 100 new people every single month. At the end of the month, end of the year, you would have sat over 1,200 people in the virtual stadium. Totally awesome. It's time. It's our season. Let's do it. Let's do the groundwork now in the virtual stadium so we can fill the stadiums tomorrow. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on help fill the virtual stadiums. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Help fill the virtual stadiums now. Welcome back. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John. We were just talking about what this day entails and what we need to do. And we're talking about our Second Amendment rights. You know, what is our rights as Americans? And, you know, Christian Americans or non-Christian, we have a right. The supreme law of the land, the law of the land is for us, is the Constitution. It's the Constitution. And make sure you join us in the extra hour, because there's a test you have to take to be a citizen. It's a 100-question test. And we're taking those 5 questions at a time. And Pat and John are doing all, I mean, they may have to self-deport when this is over. if anybody gets a hold of this radio broadcast and begins to go back in the highlights and finds out you guys don't qualify to be Americans.
We're in trouble.
Of course, I am learning as we go. I'm learning as we go that you guys don't know these things.
Oh. Oh.
But here we are. This is a big, this is a very big statement I'm about to make. It's a very, this is so, so important, is how do we respond as Americans, as Christians? How do we respond to all of this that's going on? It's important because we cannot respond to anything in the worldly way. We're supposed to respond as Jesus tells us to respond, you know, WWJD. And he tells us that if somebody asks you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Because back then a soldier could look at you and say, hey, I need you to carry my my weapons and my shield or whatever. And he asks you to carry it for a mile. He could do something like that. Mm-hmm. And you, so what you do is carry it 2 miles instead of one. So you kind of stood out to that particular soldier. But also he says if somebody punches you in one cheek, turn the other cheek. And he talks about how that we're supposed to respond differently because we're putting our trust in the Lord. But it's a powerful way to stand. It's called peaceful. It's called being peace. Jesus did not surrender the will of the Father. He did not disobey anything. He walked perfectly right before God. So it's not about, you know, somebody tries to pull you away from the things of God. It's just like peacefully. And when I think about that, I think about, you know, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. demonstrated it so, so well. Because even though, you know, Abraham Lincoln, President Lincoln, signed the Emancipation Proclamation and slavery was abolished, the rights of people were was a mess. They were not issuing equal rights to everybody. And so but the Constitution tells us that the supreme law of the land says that everybody has equal rights. We're all created by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. And it's all of us. But they were, their rights were being hindered on. As Christians, Dr. King was, as a pastor, as a reverend out of Georgia, as a matter of fact, that he saw the injustice. I mean, obviously he saw a lot of the injustice, and that, you know, you couldn't go and sit at the same counter that a black man couldn't sit at the same counter that a white man sat at. You couldn't drink from the same water fountain. A white and a black man couldn't drink from the same water fountain. Just real stupid stuff. And but that was a violation of civil rights, a violation of the constitutional rights of the African American. Well, a Christian man, a godly man, Dr. Martin Luther King, he saw this injustice and he said, you know, I'm not telling you what he said, but he had to say at some point that I'm going to be a pioneer. This is just injustice has to stop. It has to stop. So he started inside of his own church, beginning to stand up for what was going to be. It began to spread all over America, called the Civil Rights Movement. They were being beaten. They were marching peacefully down a road, and they were putting canine dogs, loosing dogs, which were ferocious. Dogs are, I mean, spending my time in law enforcement, that's just horrific. And fire hoses on our brothers and sisters, and it was just a terrible time. But what was so important was that Dr. King demonstrated to us as Christians, him being a Christian, how we are supposed to honor God and honor the supreme law of the land that's here. And what he did was he stood for what was right, even in the midst of injustices. He marched in a city that would peacefully exercise his constitutional rights, and people walked with him. But in that, he was treated unjustly and arrested and put in jail. But because of the supreme law of the land, and because he didn't violate any rights, he didn't violate any laws, I meant, then it had to go before court. It had to go before a court, and when it went before the law of the land, the court of the land, the responsibility of our court system is to interpret the Constitution, how it's being applied to us. Are our constitutional rights being violated? For example, you know, search and seizure, that they have to have a warrant before they can search you. And so somebody stops you on the street and they search you and they take something off of you and then they arrest you because that thing, according to them, is illegal. They arrest you, they take you to the courthouse, the judge hears the evidence, and then the judge releases you because they violated your constitutional right to search you. And so Dr. King understood that, hold on, it's written, the supreme law of the land is written, and this is a nation that was founded with Judeo-Christian values, and it lets us, the First Amendment lets us honor and worship God, and that though these ignorant, racist people who were trying to violate our constitutional rights horrifically and think that we're not valuable, they held signs of like, I'm a man. Because they're having a, you know, hello. And, but because he did it that way, when he made it to the courts would have to rule in his favor, have to rule in everybody's favor, because the Constitution, every time they went before the judge had, if he, unless he was going to violate his or her role of office, you know, they would violate, if they're going to ruin their bench, which many, you know, some judges did, but they just consistently, persistently, this is what he said. He said, we're just holding you to what's written on the paper. Hear this clearly. We're just holding you to what's written on the paper. What's he talking about? He's talking about what was written in the Constitution. That's all we're, you know, this, we're not trying to change America. This is very important. Tough times are coming to America. The goal of a lot of these folks in this, this progressive movement is they don't think the way America's designed and its Constitution and the First Amendment and Second Amendment and all of that is right. They think it should go differently. They think it should be rewritten differently. Right. And what we believe that, that this is a nation founded on Judeo-Christian values, that our founding fathers wanted to be able to free us from a tyrannical leader called the King of Great Britain. And he wasn't over the church, even though he put himself over the church. So they wanted to be able to worship God freely. And we moved into this great nation of ideas that General George Washington began to fight for, of saying, you know, we can, if we are a moral people and we under, and acknowledge God over us, that our rights come from God, then this will work. Mm-hmm. And we would, that's, we don't want to, we're not saying change anything. We're just saying stick to the Constitution. We're holding you to the paper. Listen, what does that mean? That means you're going to have to read the paper. You're going to have to read the Constitution. Get you a pocket. I always carry a pocket a version of the U.S. Constitution to be able to look at. It's where I read from. I have it here with me at VFN Radio. But, and we talk about it on VFN Radio. You listen to the segment so you understand what it is and understand the reason why a police officer just can't just stop you in the middle of the road is because of the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment rights. The reason why you don't have to say nothing when you get arrested and have to go appear in a court, you don't have to say anything. It's because the Fifth Amendment says that you have a right not to say anything to persecute yourself. They have to prove it. This is the Constitution. Mm-hmm. So what we're saying is that, and what I'm saying is, that a day's coming, and it, I believe it has now come, that we're going to have to understand this paradigm that Dr. King really understood and gave his life for us to be able to stand up under God, which means, you know, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who tells us how to function in the context of every, any nation in the world, which means, you know, to those that, that bless those who curse us and pray for those who despitefully use us, that they hit us in one cheek, turn the other cheek. If they ask you to go 1 mile, go 2 miles. But understand, in the midst of that, in the midst of people treating us unjustly, that we still can be operating under the constitutional rights and moving in peace. And when it goes before the courts of the land, that means that we can be, even though we suffered for a while and somebody, you know, called us wrong, the police officers do not prosecute you. They just arrest you to bring you to a place of a bench, a judge, who actually sees if the constitutional rights, if you violated them or not, the law or not. And when you haven't violated any laws and you haven't, and your constitutional rights have been violated, you know, you're set free from that whole situation. You got to be able to go through something. I mean, even the disciples went through something. I'm not saying this is going to necessarily happen, but I think, I really believe in my spirit that you got to have that inside of you, because there's going to be some people they're thinking that you need to violate the law, or you need to step outside the Constitution to defend the Constitution. That's wrong. I mean, it's, that's, as a Christian, that's wrong. Mm-hmm. So that is no way what, you know, what we're, what I'm saying. I'm saying in the context of it that the Constitution is wonderful. Let's keep it. Let's stand up for it and realize at some point, you know, if the local courts violate your constitutional right, you can appeal to the, to the next higher court, the appeals court. If they violate your constitutional rights, you can appeal to the Supreme Court. So they've got all these different levels to make sure that your rights are upheld. Listen, you got to understand your Constitution. They're wanting it to take down two things in America. They're wanting to pull down the name and the recognition of God, and they're wanting to pull down and do away with the United States Constitution. Most nations like this only last about 200 years, and we're already around 237 years. But you know what? This nation was founded on Judeo-Christian values. If we return to our roots, if we repent and turn back to God and cry out to God, I believe there could be a third great awakening that can put us back not only where we were, but launch us to an awesome destiny to continue being a nation that brings the gospel to the world. Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.